Have you noticed how often our prayer involves asking God for things? We ask him about health, about asking him for health, for healing, for resources, for protection, for peace. And that's not a problem, because asking God for things is a good, because he wants to bless us. He absolutely longs to pour out blessings into our lives and give you good things. It's not even a problem if we ask him for extravagant things. God is not short of resources, and the Bible is full of people asking God for the ludicrous, and then God gives even more. That's the nature of the God that we have. But if asking God for things is the only thing we do, I want to suggest we shouldn't be too surprised if not very much happens. Because God doesn't want to just be a spiritual storekeeper handing out divine treats when we suddenly realize we need him. He wants to be so much more than that. So what if our prayers could be more than just requests for things? We could start by appreciating who he is, recognizing who God is, spending time with him because he's God. He's holy. He's got so much to teach us, and understanding him. So we can begin with praise of him. Isn't that how Jesus encouraged us to begin the Lord's Prayer? That was the pattern of prayer that he gave to us. Hallowed be your name. That's how it would begin. Hallowed be your name. May your name be lifted up. Then maybe we could go on and we could include confession in our prayer. So that's not such a bad thing, is it? Getting that relationship right again by confessing those things. Then perhaps we could give thanksgiving as part of our prayer and be thanking him for who he is, for what he's done, for the many blessings he pours out to us. That gives us an appreciation even more, as well as including what we call supplication or petition, asking him for things. If we can include all of that, then that sounds much more like a two-way conversation. It sounds like the conversation that is normal in a relationship. And that's what we have with God. We are his children. He is our heavenly Father. And he wants us to be in relationship with him. And then I wonder if we could go a step further. What if then our expectation of prayer is that it's more than just talking to God? Yes, talk to him, but also very much hearing from God, learning from God, and hey, even being changed by our time with God. I've been in a school this week. In primary school, they asked me to come and speak about some insects. And I absolutely love speaking about God's creation, as you know very well. And I love to see their eyes bursting open when they see an insect that's the size of their head, or when I show them something amazing, and then listening to all the wows as they can't believe what it is that they're looking at. But you know, interestingly this week, before I got a chance to even show them a single insect or say what I was going to speak about, they wanted to put their hands up. And I'm thinking, why have they all got their hands up? Why are they wanting to ask questions and I've not said anything? So I invited them to say something. They didn't want to ask a question. They just wanted to tell me about what they'd seen. Reverend Steve, I've seen a beetle and it was big and it was black and it was shiny and it went underneath the chair and we couldn't find it. And then said, Reverend Steve, I've seen spider and the spider killed the fly and it wrapped it all up and it was eating it. It was amazing. And so they went on. They wanted to tell me things before I'd had a chance to say anything. And it occurs to me, I wonder if sometimes our prayer to God is a little bit like that. Except sometimes, apart from being excited about holy things before God, we come to him pouring out our woes instead. And we just want to say, hello, Lord, right, this has gone wrong. I need this. Pray for this. And sometimes that's how we can be. Do you know, the interesting thing was once the children had got past their excitement at me being there and wanting to share what they'd seen, they were eager. They wanted to see more. They wanted to know more. They wanted to learn more. They were growing. And I would like to think that at the end of my time with them, they had changed their perception about insects in the world. I think God wants to do that with us and change us as we come to him in prayer. And we see an example of that in Hannah. For the last 3 weeks, we've been looking at Hannah in 1 Samuel 1, who prayed earnestly to God. But as we looked a little bit deeper into the passage, we saw that she wasn't just asking God for stuff. In this case, she was asking for that child that she longed for. But we see in Hannah a life that was molded by her time with God. She was changed by her prayer. Now, it started first with her getting serious. She knew who the God was that she was coming before. She knew and she humbled herself. She was pouring herself out. This was heartfelt prayer. It was emotions, turmoil being poured out. God has no problem with us bringing us genuinely who we are before him. She shared everything, her hopes, her aspirations, and God wants to hear that from us. But then secondly, she was changed. Her character was changed, and she became this gracious lady. So when she was falsely accused by Eli, she was able to respond graciously, and in the process, invite him to be part of the journey. So when Eli saw this godly character, Eli was changed and he became an ally. And now they're both on this journey of prayer and longing. And guess what? The kingdom of God is growing because prayer has changed somebody. And then last week we saw that then prayer changed Hannah's perspective. And after she'd poured her heart out to God, her heart towards God was changed. She went away at peace. And the next morning she came back and worshipped him. Her mind had been stuck in this tunnel vision of her longing, but she was suddenly able to worship God joyfully, thankfully. Well, today we're going to close this little series looking at how for Hannah, actually everything was changed. So Jackie, if you'd read to us, please, verses 24 to 28 of 1 Samuel chapter 1.
After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When the bull had been sacrificed, they brought the boy to Eli. And she said to him, "Pardon me, my lord. As surely as you live, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there.
Thanks, Jackie. So God answers Hannah's prayer. He gives her the child that she longed for. And what does Hannah do? She hands him straight back. Almost at the earliest opportunity, after the child was weaned, she hands him back to God. Just think for a minute. Can you grasp the magnitude of what she's just done, of the decision that she's just made? Can you imagine the magnitude of what she's just been through, experiencing this child growing, developing within her, being born, the attachment that she's made as she's weaned him, only for this, the emotional turmoil that must have taken place as she hands him back to God. She must have been heartbroken. Yet this is precisely what she'd promised God that she would do. And she does it willingly, actually determinedly. She gives back to him that which she had most longed for, which was most important to her. And it was the most important. Do you remember the start of the story when we looked at Elkanah, her husband, trying to comfort her in the unbearable grief that she was suffering with the torment of her rival? He was trying to comfort her and saying, "But I love you. Is my love not greater than 20 children? And the answer was no. The child was everything to her at this point. And yet this is exactly what she's now handing back to God. And the picture that it paints is the picture of the offering, of the bringing to God of first fruits. The first fruits being brought before God. When the harvest comes in, the first fruits of the harvest are given. Even though you don't know what might come, the harvest might then just end with a disaster, with a drought or something else. You don't know what's coming, but you still bring the first fruits to God. You give the very best. If you were bringing up animals instead, you don't look for the one, oh, that one's only got three legs. I'll give God that lamb. No, you bring the first fruits. You give the very best. That's the picture that's painted with Hannah. That is most important to her. And of course, it's what she'd promised to do. She'd made a vow before God. That's how seriously things had changed for her. Now, you know, I'm always saying that there's always so much more in the text, in the Bible. Read the passage, see what else it wants to say to us. This was a vow that was being fulfilled before God. This is how serious she is in bringing her son. Did you notice that the passage says she didn't just bring her son back? She's not reluctant, just dumping you off, saying, oh, okay, I suppose I need to do this. She does more. She brings what's described as a bull of 3 years old. Now, if you look at that in your Bible's probably got a note on it that says, could be translated three bulls, as well as the ephah of flour and the wine. Actually, I think that's the right translation. It is three bulls, because that's consistent with the priestly responsibility for someone bringing an offering, which is a special vow. Let me read to you from Numbers chapter 15. When you prepare a young bull, as a burnt offering or sacrifice for a special vow or a fellowship offering to the Lord. A fellowship offering. Remember, it's not just a vow. This is a relationship with God that she now has through prayer. Bring with the bull a grain offering of 3/10 of an ephah of finest flour. And it goes on to the wine as well. 3/10 of an ephah with her bull. So with three bulls, you would have 9/10 of an ephah, which is just short of an ephah. Hannah's bringing what was expected, saying, "This is my vow to you, God." She's fulfilling that vow. Three bulls, an ephah of flour, actually more than she was asked for, and a skin of wine, this fellowship offering. This is a woman who is committing the very best that she's got, because that's the relationship she now has with her God. Her whole life has changed. It was the lack of a child that broke her heart in the first place, yet now she's willingly giving him back. What is it that has changed? It's Hannah. It used to be that the longing for a child was everything. Now it is her relationship with God, where that child has been satisfied through that relationship, that is the important thing. The shame has gone. The new purpose, the relationship with God, is what is being built here. She knows that her son is a gift from God, that God has done something amazing, and now Hannah has changed, and she's working with God in partnership. Do you know that's what our lives are? It is a partnership. We somehow think of God as being separate, and we call on him to give us what we want. Hannah has grasped, no, this life of ours is a partnership, and of all that God gives to us, he invites us to give back to him and recognize it's part of the journey that we are on with him as our relationship in partnership with him grows. I wonder whether there are things that we hold so important in our lives. It could be the things we do in life. It could be a gift, a skill that we have. It could be our homes, our resources, our family. I wonder whether we've grasped that God invites us to be in partnership with him, and whether we have actually given them back to him. And sometimes he even invites us, and we hold our hands out in prayer sometimes, don't we? Symbolically holding our hands out. We're kind of offering ourselves to him. But I wonder whether sometimes when he answers those prayers, it's easy to then grasp, and we think they're ours to deal with in our lives. Hannah's learned something very different. I wonder whether it's time for us to give back to God things that we might have been holding onto and not realize that we've not fully released back, like the first fruits, to him. So this is a time for letting go. An example of that might be our prayer for our church. About 8 years ago or so, we were praying to God about the future of our church. We were busy. We're a busy church, doing a lot, far more than we could cope with the people that we had. A few people were being very burned out, and something really wasn't right. So we came to God, and eventually, in simple prayer, committed to him, he spoke to us, and we felt him saying, "Stop being busy and come back and give yourselves to me. Spend time with me." In 2016, we felt we needed to stop and put our activities down, to lay them down and come back to God. And that's what we did. And we started instead meeting and developing and growing our relationship. And God started to speak to us about how we could be busy for him in a better way, in the places where he'd set us. using what was in our hands, in the locations where we find ourselves. I have used a phrase to you after 2016 that I've used to my colleagues when I've tried to describe what has taken place for us as a church. And I said, it feels like we have given God his church back. I wonder if God wants us to do that with other things in our lives. I suspect for many of you, I know for many of you, like for Hannah, it would be painful to give God his church back, to say, this is yours, Lord. Do with it what you want to. Take us where you want us to go, not where I want to go. I wonder where else that might apply in our lives as we hand ourselves over to God. I wonder whether we are holding on to things when we come to him, we pray, but actually we hold on, we're just praying at God instead of entering into a conversation where he could change us. Do we need to let go? I want to give you a couple of examples, which are very personal examples to me and to Lorinda, of how God spoke some years ago in a situation that we were going through. Before we were married, we had just started our relationship. We were in Zambia at the time. Things were going amazingly. I had met this gorgeous babe and life was sweet and wonderful. And I thought, wow, this is amazing. I hadn't gone looking for this, but this is what we found. And it was all great, right up until the time where we went away on an occasion and Lorinda suddenly had incredible doubts and suddenly felt it was a mistake. It was all over. And I came back and I just couldn't believe what had just happened. What on earth is going on here? How did that happen? We're great to get what could be going on. That was midweek. I spent the week not doing any work. I felt sick, couldn't concentrate. I felt absolutely ill. And just poured myself out to God. And in prayer, he spoke to me and he gave me verses that were encouraging. He gave me a picture of what he wanted to do in our relationship that was amazing. That's for another time. And I just felt built up and confident that God would do something with this right up until the Saturday evening when someone came over to encourage me and said, I've had a chat with Lorinda. Don't worry. I think things are going to be okay. At which point, I suddenly felt sick again. All my confidence went out the window and I thought, oh no. And I lost it all. Bizarre the way things work, isn't it? That night, Saturday night, I couldn't sleep. Sunday morning comes, I barely slept. 5:30 in the morning, the woodcutter's outside chopping wood, hacking it with an axe right on the other side of the wall that I'm sleeping next to. Chopping wood, I wanted to get out there and do something with him. Then the birds were singing. There were babblers, babbling birds, which are a bit like starlings. And they were outside on my windowsill, 6 a.m, babbling away, making an unbelievable racket. I couldn't sleep. I'm thinking, sick, will you shut up? Didn't like God's creation at that point. And got up, went in to have breakfast with the lady who owned the farm that I was staying on. And I said to her, I don't think I'm going to go to church today. I don't think I can cope. I've not slept. I really don't feel like it. And she just looked back at me and gently said, you know, sometimes it's in just those occasions when you need to go. I didn't need her to say that. Before the words had left my mouth, I knew I needed to be there. And I went. And I went and I sat on my own. I didn't want to talk to anyone. I sat on my own. And all these Christians walked into the church smiling, happy, full of joy. Do you just hate it when they are all full of joy and I'm miserable? Shut up. And that's what it felt like as I'd gone to church that day. And then I sat down and we started worshiping. And Tim, who would later be my best man, was leading the worship. And the first song he started with was If I Were a Butterfly, I'd Flap My Wings. And yeah, sing with the actions. I could have killed him. I want to sing that on this morning. I felt awful. Every reading, every song I felt was God wanting to speak to me. And I just couldn't get it. It was like there was a fog in the way and I couldn't hear it. Then we sang, "Open Our Eyes, Lord, We Want to See Jesus." And at the end, Tim said, "Just see Jesus." And I did. And I had a vision as bold as anything I've ever seen before. And I saw Jesus on the cross, covered in blood. And I knew he'd done that for me. And everything was okay. I knew that I had peace. I knew that everything was okay. I didn't know that my relationship with Lorinda was okay. No idea. That wasn't the point. It was bigger than that. God was in the situation, and I knew everything was okay. Do you know, with the story of Hannah, when Hannah had prayed, and she'd got Eli as an ally, she was at peace. She'd had an amazing encounter with God, and she was at peace. She didn't know that God was going to answer her prayer. She still didn't have a son, but she went away. Did you notice last week? With her head held high. Everything was okay because God had changed her. And God had changed me in that moment. Later that day, I had met with Lorinda and we had lunch. And Lorinda was wanted to talk to me and tell me some of the things she was feeling. When I told her what had happened in my encounter, none of that really mattered. And she just gave me a hug and everything really was okay. There was a point where I just needed to let go and let God deal with it. But I want to follow that up with another incident that happened then after we were married. And the same doubts came back big time. And Lorinda was really quite ill as a consequence with this. And we had gone to a Christian retreat center. And I was going with an absolute determination. I was there, reliable Steve. I'm not going to let Lorinda go. I'm going to be here. I'm going to hold her. It's going to be fine. We'll take, and God's going to speak to Lorinda. And I knew what was going to happen. Except that's not what happened at all. Lorinda actually became determined that she just needed space. And the guy who was speaking at that retreat was talking about Abraham and Isaac, and asking Isaac to be sacrificed. And I felt God speak very clearly to me. And he said to me, "Steve, are you willing to give up that which is most important to you?" And in this world, that was Lorinda. And it was so real, and I'd had such an encounter with God in it that I knew there was only one answer. Of course, precious though she was, because God is good. He's the good, good Father. And I could trust him. And if that's what he was asking, it's the only thing I could do. And so I stepped back. Do you know, at that moment, I realized what I'd been doing in my praying. I'd been holding Lorinda up to God. Oh, yes, Steve, the reliable Steve, holding her up. "Don't worry, Lord, I've got her." But I was still holding her up to God. My hands were there. And I was effectively saying to God, "It's all right, Lord, I've got her. Don't worry, but if you can't handle this, I've got her. It's okay." And God was saying to me, "Time to hand her to me. Put your hands down. There are other things for you." Actually, I came into ministry on the back of that. That's the journey I needed to get on with. There comes a point where God asks us to trust him. There comes a point in our prayer times where we need to let go. And we need to stop just coming and coming and bringing him those things. And have an opportunity to prayer where we start listening to God. to the point where he can change us so that we realize he's got this. He's a big God and I can trust him, because there will be other things we need to pray through. I wonder if there is anything in your life that you've longed for that is so precious, that you've been pouring out to God, that you need to go to him and say, Lord, I trust you, and leave it with him. And invite God to give you peace as you leave it there. Richard Foster wrote a book called Prayer, Finding the Heart's True Home. He said this about letting go. He wrote, the prayer of relinquishment is a bona fide letting go, but it is a release with hope. We have no fatalist resignation. We are buoyed up by a confident trust in the character of God. God is inviting us deeper in and higher up. There is training in righteousness. There is transforming power, new joys, deeper intimacy. That's what we have discovered as we've made our church journey. It's what I have discovered as I have made my journey, as Lorinda and I have made our journey with God together, as I'm making my journey with him personally. He wants to take us deeper. Giving things up before him is actually releasing him to be God, whatever that means. I wonder if there are things you need to be giving to God and letting go. Before we continue, I'm just going to give us a moment to be quiet. If you want to pray out loud, do. But otherwise, you might just want to be silent and let God speak. Is there something he wants to put his finger on in your life you need to let go? Father God, thank you that you only want the best for us. Lord, thank you that we can trust you with our future, with the best things you've given to us, our homes, our families, our careers, our lives, our church. Lord, would you help us to deepen that relationship with you? To trust you with it, to trust you with our free time, with our hobbies, with our holidays, to trust you with the things that we have. Lord, would you help us to let go of things that we try to control? Help us to give you free rein and give us confidence that you got this. And it is okay. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.